Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 23rd day of October, Anno Domini 2021, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 9 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose, kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. Here comes the news.
Ta-da!
Before we get to the news, let me just remind you that this is likely to be our last Saturday of this particular pledge drive. We are in the midst of a pledge drive.
We're hoping.
The theory is it ends this Friday at 6 p.m. And we would very much like it to do that. But we need your help. As you know, we are here every Saturday for you. And we only ask you a couple of times a year to become a member of the station. We're here for you. Now we need you to be here for us. Particularly, I want to talk to those of you listening via the podcast. We know there are many, many hundreds of you who listen to the podcast, and yet we only have a very, very few, less than half a dozen, who are out of the Rochester area who are members, and that saddens me. So please give some thought to becoming a member. We'll talk more about that later. In the meantime, I'll read the news. There's a whole new set of scams as well as an escalation of old ones going around. Please be aware and be careful. Beware of scammers making contact with you unexpectedly through a phone call, text, or both, pretending to be your bank or some other legitimate business. Scammers ask for remote access to your device in order to resolve an issue on your behalf. They may send a link or an app to download this access. There are several lies that the scammers may use to encourage you to provide access to your device, including technical help like virus removal or unlocking an account, promising some sort of refund, asking for an unpaid fee, requiring a payment on an outstanding balance. Scammers will, and it may not be that they want you to log in. It may just be an email or a phone call asking for this information. The scammer will then use that information to transfer funds out of your account or install malware on your computer. Listen, pay attention to this bit. No legitimate business is going to request unsolicited remote access to your device. No legitimate business is going to call you up and say, "Let me into your computer." No matter how convincing the request may seem, is a good practice to be suspicious of any requests for access to your personal information or property. In particular, Microsoft, Google, Apple, Samsung, no company is going to call you up and ask for access to your computer.
Or IRS.
Never.
Yep.
Right. And the IRS isn't going to ask. No government, no bank, nobody's going to ask. If you do receive a suspicious request, stop communicating with those people immediately. Call your bank from the number you have on your credit card or go to the website of your bank or whatever legitimate business made contact with you. But don't do it by clicking on a link in an email or whatever.
That was sent to you.
Yep. Right. Never and do that.
Don't use the phone number in that link either because it's probably wrong.
It's wrong. If it's your actual real bank, go right to the branch. Never, ever engage with anyone who calls you up out of the blue and asks you to give them access to your computer. And please pass this information on to others.
No matter how scary they make it sound, we had one poor woman was taken for tens of thousands of dollars because they made it sound like such a catastrophe. Your computer was going to explode any minute and you better go to Kmart and buy gift cards.
Yeah, that's going to be the biggest.
But don't buy too many at one register. Go, buy $100 and then go back and get another $100, but go to a different register line.
Right.
Because stores are now being trained that if someone is buying too many gift cards, they're probably getting scammed.
Yeah, and that should be a big tip to anybody. Right. If they sit there and tell you, all right, well, you got to go down to your local Target or Walmart or wherever and get these credit, you know, PayPal or whatever gift cards.
Yeah.
Gift cards should be the first key. The minute you hear, go get gift cards, hang up.
Yep,
absolutely right. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that's Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is there's a new set of scams making the rounds. And your choices are, I've gotten a call or text, I'm on the lookout, I'm sure I'll never be targeted, and other. So far, we've got 22 votes. And I've gotten a call, text, and I'm on the lookout are even, dead even on that. And it's easy to vote. Just go to soundbites.org. In the upper left is a link to the poll. Click on that and take the poll. I'd like to hear from all of you about this.
Yeah.
It only takes a minute, and I'm very, very interested to see what's going on with you folks, who's actually been targeted. Not who fell for it, but who's gotten the call
because
or the text.
Because we're getting into the season now.
That's the big thing.
Yeah, because once you get into Halloween and on through Christmas, they're out there in droves, folks.
And they often target older people who may not be as computer sophisticated.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So check with your parents and grandparents to make sure they're not getting caught by some of these.
Right. Tell them all. And, of course, if you have more to say, if you checked other, you can head on over to our forums. Again, that's at soundbites.org. Scroll down on the right under Fascinating Stuff. Second forum down is the poll discussion. Currently, at least the number one item under poll discussion is 23 Oct 21. There's a new set of scams making the rounds. And, of course, you can give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free at 1-800-790-0415. You definitely want to be very careful about this one. This is not something to fool around with because these people are after your money.
All right. And the other thing, though, if folks really don't think that this is going on, there are plenty of YouTube videos that there's some great folks out there right now that are trying to scam the scammers. And if you want a good entertainment, you can see, you just do a search, scam the scammers. And you'll see actual people, you know, that have dealt with this before. I do not advise you trying to do this.
Right.
But watch them and see how they do it. Matter of fact, there was one interesting one where this scammer called a police department.
Yeah.
And he got a hold of this woman who was a desk sergeant and telling her that the authorities were coming for her.
Yeah, the police are going to come and arrest you if you don't send us iTunes cards.
Yeah.
Right.
And she was playing along with them. So if you don't think that it's really real, check those out. It's worth the great entertainment. And maybe it'll wake you up to the fact that if you've got to think about this when they call you and say, you owe this amount of money. Hang up.
Just hang up. And while that stuff is very entertaining, this is a very serious thing.
Yes.
They can take all of your money.
And they won't even blink. And you know what? Because they're offshore and out of this country, once your money is gone, it's gone, folks. There's no magic, you know, way that they can get it back.
Right.
From some of the statistics that have been released, this year so far, nearly 60 million people have been caught by a scam and have lost nearly $30 billion.
Yep.
This is a huge industry. And it doesn't matter if you've only got $100 in the bank. They'll take it.
They'll take it. They're pretty happy to get it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, be very aware. Be very careful. Oh, before we go to the phones, let me remind you, we are in a pledge drive. So give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll free at 1-800-790-0415. And particularly for you people listening on the, I almost said freeloaders, particularly for you people listening in the podcast, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org or through the Jazz 90.1 app. And let us not forget, today is National iPod Day.
Mm-hmm.
The iPod was introduced on this date in 2001, 20 years ago today.
It's amazing to think it's been 20 years and how far,
yeah, really.
You know, 5,000 songs in your pocket was amazing.
Oh, just astonishing.
Huge thing. Yeah. Now I've got 75 million songs that I stream.
Yeah, exactly. the iPod is almost essentially dead.
Pretty much, yeah. They still Apple still sells the iPod Touch,
right,
which is basically the phone without the phone bill.
Right.
But I can't remember the last time we've sold one.
No, because you can do it all in your
streaming.
Well,
and
a lot of times it's parents who will give one to their younger kids because they don't want to give a phone bill to them, because you can still do messaging over the Wi-Fi.
Right.
But most of the time the parents will hand down their older phone now. So so even then it's not that big a deal.
Right. All right, to the phones. Our first caller is Larry from Rochester, New York. Hi, Larry. What's up?
Good afternoon. I want to say I'm a proud pledger and I re-up my membership.
Thank you very much, sir.
I'm exercising my membership rights.
That's what we like to hear.
This question is really for Steve. I just picked up a new iMac 24 from your shop last week, and I'm in the process of transferring data from my old iMac to the new one. My problem is I looked under, about this Mac. And in storage on the old Mac, I see that I have on my drive 13.2 gigabytes in iCloud Drive. So I'm confused. What's the difference between iCloud Drive and iCloud in the cloud? I didn't expect to see stuff on my drive.
Well, iCloud is sort of a generic name for all of Apple's cloud services. And if you go into System Preferences under your Apple ID, it shows you all the different services available under iCloud. iCloud Drive is one of those services, very much like Dropbox and Google Drive and OneDrive, where it will synchronize files between your computer and the cloud so that you can see your data on your other devices. So, and in fact, iCloud Drive has two pieces to it. There's iCloud Drive by itself, where you put something in your iCloud Drive folder, it gets synced up to the cloud, and then you can see it on your other computers, desktops, laptops, phones, tablets, the whole thing.
So let me understand, iCloud Drive really isn't on my drive?
Yes, it is. And it synchronizes it to the cloud so that you can also see those files on your other drives, on your other computers.
Suppose I don't want it on my drive, though. I mean, should I want it there, or should I just depend completely on the cloud, somewhat like a Chromebook?
Well, it stays on your computer, and anytime you make a change to that file, it syncs those changes to the cloud, so you get the updated files on your other computers. So if you want to share your files between your other computers, then you would turn on iCloud Drive. If you don't need to do that, then you would turn it off, and then it doesn't send anything to the cloud.
Oh, I got you.
The cloud, then, is the secondary place to store it. The main place you're storing it is on your computer.
Right. Except then, there's two more options. Under iCloud Drive, there's an option called iCloud Desktop and Documents. And so with just iCloud Drive, you have a folder called iCloud Drive, and you manually put stuff in that folder you want to sync. If you turn on iCloud Desktop and Documents, then everything on your desktop and everything in your Documents folder is synced automatically to the cloud, and then shows up on your other computers as well. And because that might be a lot of space, you typically need to purchase additional cloud space. And so there's a third option called Optimize My Storage. So it will remove things from your computer you haven't used in a while to free up space on your local drive. And if you ever open that file again, it will download it back from the cloud. And you can tell if a file is in the cloud by a little cloud icon next to it. And it will tell you if that file is in the cloud or on your local computer.
That's why I see that.
Right. So it offloads things you haven't used in a while, so it doesn't take up room on your local computer. That didn't used to be a big deal when we had multi-terabyte drives, but now that most of the Macs are coming with SSDs and generally small SSDs, we're really annoyed that 256 gig is the base storage amount, which is almost nothing. Because you can store in the cloud, but then you're paying $10 bucks a month for cloud storage. Or an external drive, which is less convenient too. It's becoming more of an issue that you have to realize, and your salesperson should tell you this, you have to realize what the storage is on your computer and how much you need, and whether you want to order the computer with a bigger internal SSD or use an external SSD for or even spinning hard drive, use an external drive for your storage. So
okay, I think you yeah.
Yeah, so iCloud Drive, like most of the other cloud drive syncing systems, is primarily designed to sync your files between your multiple devices, desktops and laptops and phones. Some people think it's a backup, and it isn't really. It's a sync. So every change you make on the local computer is synced to the cloud. So if you delete a file, that file is deleted from the cloud, so it's not a backup.
So unless you have versioning, it's gone.
Which iCloud Drive doesn't do.
Right.
Oh.
The other thing you need to understand is the difference between something like Google Drive and the iCloud Drive.
Mm-hmm.
Google Drive is, I think, what you were originally thinking of, which is it's only stored in the cloud.
Backup drive.
Right.
Everything is in the cloud, and you do things through your browser or whatever, and you work actually in the cloud.
Until you install the Google Drive app on your computer.
But yes,
yeah.
Let me get there.
Okay.
So that's the way Google Drive works in its beginning. You can add the Google Drive app, which now makes it work very much like iCloud Drive.
Yeah.
But they're two separate things. I do not believe that iCloud has the non-iCloud Drive option.
Yeah, you do everything at iCloud.com with your
browser.
With your browser, yeah.
There you go.
Yep.
So you just have to figure out which one of those two things you want to do.
Okay, because on the older Mac, it's constantly asking me now, do I want to install the new Google Drive? I guess it's the app. And I've been kind of avoiding it because I just personally haven't taken the time to research exactly what it is and what it does, though I do have quite a few stuff on Google Drive.
And so that's why it's asking you to put the new version in, because you have an old version.
Okay. The other thing is I've got a lot of stuff from my old computer that I probably don't want to hog up on my new computer at this point in time. And so Well, I've been looking at it lately and trying to figure out what do I really want to move over here and what can I probably live without? Because if I haven't looked at it in 5 years and don't know I have it, I probably don't need it.
Yeah. But you can copy it to an external. Well, you could move it to an external drive so you don't have to delete it completely, just in case. And well, then I have this pile of external drives in my closet.
Okay, so I have two external Samsung T7s connected. One is 1 terabyte, the other is 2. I could probably download it to that, and if I ever needed to come back, I could.
Right.
Okay. Well, I won't say you gave me information overload, but you were close.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to take up all of your time, but thank you so much for your help, and have a great day. I'm going to go in and start figuring out what I can chop and what I can't.
Good luck, Larry, and thanks for being a member.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And that's a big thing to take a look at whenever you are buying new computers. It's similar in the PC world. They're mostly coming with SSDs now. And they're typically smaller than spinning drives because large SSDs are expensive.
Right.
So you might have that 2 terabyte spinning drive on your 10-year-old computer. You look at a new laptop and it's got a 256 gig SSD. You can upgrade it. It'll cost you, but you have to decide. If it's much more convenient to have one big internal drive than it is to manage files between multiple external drives.
Right.
Pain in the butt.
External drives are great for backup, not so great for online storage.
Yeah, no, you don't want that. Like we've said, you can never have enough backups.
Right.
Because, and just finding the time to do it.
Well, yes. And that's, once you automate it, once you download it, that's why I like pCloud.
Yeah.
That's why I like, I do a bunch of stuff.
Life gets in
the tab.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Life gets in the way and people all of a sudden forget,
Yeah, cloud syncing is not bad for catastrophic failure of your drive. Then you restore everything from the cloud. but it's not a backup in that you can't get back to previous versions of something. You changed your mind on how you wanted this paragraph to read, so you want to go back to yesterday's version. Well, it's gone as soon as you hit save.
Right.
So
you need to have have versioning.
Right. You need to have a versioning system or a backup drive system.
Right. Right. So you need to be aware of how that all works, and it's not always obvious, as Larry found out. But
yeah, Apple has a versioning system built into the OS, but very few programs take advantage of it.
Right.
Because it takes up extra space on your drive. When you hit save, it keeps all the old versions, and
right.
therefore more disk space.
And when you had a 2-terabyte drive,
it didn't matter.
Big deal.
Yeah.
Right. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We have a couple people on the line. Please stay on the line. We'll be to you in just a minute. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 29 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites right here on the Truly Great, and truly grateful to you that we continue to be member supported. Thanks to you. Jazz 90.1. See you on the other side.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And 35 minutes after the hour, we are sound bites, and we have Brian all the way from Gates, New York on the line. Hi, Brian. What's up?
Hello, guys. Having a good time.
Good.
A couple things here. First, I got one of those scam calls.
Oh, yeah.
It was interesting because I was out in the middle of the prairies on the train. Right? And it doesn't matter. I actually had a signal. A lot of the times you couldn't get a signal. But
and the one call that makes it in.
Yeah, right. A young lady who said she was representing a major credit card company, which I do have. And she said, well, you owe us $20. Yeah, and I did buy something recently at about that amount. I couldn't remember the exact amount. And she was insistent that I pay it right then. You got to pay. I'll take care of it. We'll pay it right then. And I'm thinking to myself, this is a major credit card company. They are not going to go belly up because they don't get my $20.
You think? I don't know, Brian. You know. You're shifty looking, you know.
You have no idea.
Yeah, and she was, and I said, no, it's part of a trip I'm taking. I want to account for it together with all my receipts so I know what I paid and what, and no. So finally we hung up. The other thing is I just renewed my membership, so you can answer my questions now.
Yeah, the worst part is they say they're from your credit card company, and then they ask for your credit card number.
Yeah, you already have that.
Yeah, right. Exactly. No, never.
Or what's my name?
Well, when I went to pay for the membership, got the number wrong on the first try. Yeah. I had to go back and resubmit the entire number. You know?
Well, that's your fault.
Yeah.
That's my fault. Yeah, I know. So that's two. I met a person on the train coming back from Chicago who was coming back to Rochester. And where does she live? But the 19th Ward.
Nice.
Of course, where I used to live for many, many years.
Yep.
We had all kinds of mutual friends. And I was wearing my Jazz 90.1 hat.
Nice.
And she said, oh, yeah, my husband listens to that computer show. I said, oh, wonderful. I know those guys. What I forgot to ask is whether he was a member. So, Philip, if you're listening, pony up.
Philip, pony up. You heard the man.
And now my computer question.
Yeah.
Is there a possible way, in any way, shape, or form, to remove, get rid of, take and throw in the river, without losing my phone, Facebook? I cannot figure a way to getting
No, not on his phone.
Well, unless you have a phone made by Facebook.
Well, there are phones that come with
preloaded stuff.
And you can't get rid of it.
Find a polite word for stuff. Preloaded. And that generally, particularly on a lot of the budget phones and Samsung and a couple of others, you simply cannot get rid of them because they're built right into the operating system.
Bloatware.
Bloatware. And
well, that's one word for it.
Yeah. So you cannot get rid of it. Now you may be able to disable it in the settings under apps. Again, it depends on what phone you have as to whether they'll even allow you to do that.
Yeah, it's a Samsung A10.
I think on most of them, though, you can at least turn them off. You know, turn the right. app off. Okay. You have to go into the services for each app and, you know, not have that app start up.
Yeah.
Can you deny it access to the internet?
Some of them you can deny access to the internet. Some of them you can just say, don't notify me.
Can't you also just take it off your main screen? So it's like, it's you take it off.
Maybe. Some of them you can't even do that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so spoiled by the Pixel.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's down several screens. I've got stuff from people I don't even know.
Right.
And it takes up so much room, and I can't figure out how to get rid of them, any one particular post.
Right.
How to embrace those. Goes on, and it's costing me extra bandwidth for my data.
Right. Remember, Facebook doesn't care what you want.
Yeah.
I know.
They paid Samsung a bunch of money to get that phone app, and Samsung passes that cost savings onto you with a lower cost phone.
No, they don't.
Probably not.
No,
probably not.
No.
Yeah.
No, they just line their pockets with more money.
Do you know what version of Android the phone has on it?
Not right off the top of my head. It was updated about six, eight weeks ago.
Yeah, you may be able to go into settings and disable that app.
Okay, I'll take a look at it.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a wonderful toy, but like I say, I had to reroute this train trip. Went to L.A. and back.
Yeah.
And we happened to be up in the mountains near Reno, and nobody could get any kind of self-service. Myself, I sat on hold for an hour with the Amtrak ticketing agent because they had to be rerouted around one of the fires.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sitting there waiting for them to call me back for an hour. They call me back. I pick it up. Hi, how you doing? This is Amtrak. No bars.
Oh, man.
So I call them back. Another hour.
Yeah.
Get on the line. Oh, hi.
And now your battery's dead.
We're going to do this. Boink. And it went out. Tried the conductor's phone. He couldn't get through. They did get it corrected in time and on right, and it was fine.
Take a piece of copper wire, wrap it around your antenna, and connect it to the metal of the train car. And make your antenna bigger.
Make your antenna the train.
Make the antenna the train.
Make the antenna, right. All right, gentlemen. Thank you for those little bits of wisdom.
All right, have fun.
Take it easy, guys. Bye.
You too. Bye-bye. I have to say I'm very jealous of Brian. He just took a train trip to Los Angeles and back. Train after train after train, just sitting on the train having fun. Beautiful. The one thing I've always wanted... It's my own train car. You can buy them. They're not cheap.
I heard on a podcast, Andy Anatko, who is a Big Mac columnist, he talked about an Amtrak discount card where it was like, $500, but you could take 10 trips anywhere.
Nice.
Between station to station. And he said every time it comes up, he grabs it. Because then, he can go from Boston to New York several times. And, Boston to Florida might be three stations, so that counts as three of your 10. But for $500, it's a heck of a discount on traveling. We're on family radio here, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. Not for a moment we weren't, but otherwise,
Does that count for every even little city that they might stop at?
It's major stations.
Yeah.
Okay, so like Rochester, Syracuse,
Albany.
Yeah.
It wouldn't hit little podunk towns and that they might.
Right. And Lockport, whatever they go through.
Gasport and all those others.
Yeah. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Christine from Brockport, New York, speaking of. Hi, Christine. How are you?
Good. Thank you. How are you all?
Peachy. Thanks. What's up?
Well, I thought I would share a scam story.
Oh.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny, but it happened to my dad, who is around 85 years old, and he lives in Florida. And it was around Thanksgiving of last year, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of like the perfect storm of things. So my dad goes to work every day. Like, he's an incredibly active, you know, 85-year-old. He, you know, works at like a 30-hour week, blah, 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 blah. He, you know, so he's, it's not like he's just sitting around and he doesn't know stuff.
Right.
And he uses a computer. And so it was right before, as I was saying, the holiday, and they had, he and his wife had guests coming in for dinner, for Thanksgiving dinner. And so the scammers called like the day before Thanksgiving, and they said, your electric bill isn't paid, and we're going to turn your electricity off if you don't go pay it now. My dad thinking, oh my gosh, we have all these company, you know, people coming in. It had gotten really cold. And so he's like, we're not going to have heat. We're not going to be able to make dinner. And because his wife has auto debit or something like that from the, their checking account, he thought maybe she had forgotten to tell him to, you know, dispense the money or whatever. And he couldn't talk to her. So at the time, and he's like, all right, I'm just going to go do it. So he goes to the local Rite Aid or whatever. You know, they tell him, well, go to this place and get this card. And so he goes there and he looks for the card, the gift card, like you're saying, I guess, right, or whatever it was. And there isn't one. He calls him. They call him back in like a half an hour, and they're like, did you do it? He's like, well, there wasn't one. They're like, well, wait a minute. And so they send him to another pharmacy. And so he gets the card. I'm like, Dad, didn't you kind of figure this out? But no, he's just so worried that they're going to turn the electricity off. So he gets the card, and the woman at the cashier, bless her heart, says, now, this isn't for somebody asking you for money, is it? And my dad, being, you know, like, doesn't want to seem like he doesn't know what's going on. So he says, no, 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 it's all okay. So he ends up sending them, like, I don't know, a couple $100 or, you know, I mean, it wasn't exorbitant, but, you know, it was a good chunk of money.
Yeah.
And then, you know, anyways, that's kind of the story. They ended up calling him back and this and that. And I'm like, Dad, they were scamming you. And he's like, well, I didn't know.
Unbelievable. But that's exactly how they do it. They scare you with something like that. I bet there were a million calls were cutting off your electricity today, the day before Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. How many people are going to be in your father's shoes? We got people coming over. We're going to be cooking, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And because his wife has a little bit of dementia, he's like, okay, maybe she forgot, and she was maybe at her daughter's or the doctor's, and he couldn't talk to her. And, you know, so it was just like everything fell into place, and he just, you know, was like, okay, I got to handle this. And so it's not always that people are dumb, you
right.
know, it's just they're trying to
juggle life.
Exactly. And it's just uncanny how these, you know, scammers know exactly what button to push.
And we're all programmed to obey signs and to believe
it's
what
nice
people
to
say.
Be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. And parasites like them will literally, you know, leech off of folks and take advantage of them. And they don't care. They could care less. They wouldn't even blink a second. They'll be, bam, hanging up from him and going on to the next one.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's all social engineering. Pick something like Thanksgiving, and everybody you call is going to have somebody over.
Yeah.
Yep, yep. So, you know, maybe if somebody hears this, they'll, you know, we get used to hearing one kind of story, but when you hear all the different things that these scammers might use, it might be helpful.
Oh, definitely.
Right. Thank you, Christine. Excellent.
Yes, thank you for sharing your story.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And, of course, let's not forget that the Wednesday before Thanksgiving is going to be a 4-day holiday. coming up. So if your electricity gets cut off, you can't have it back until Monday.
Yep.
Yep.
So, yeah, there's a little bit of extra pressure right there just for that.
Yeah.
And we're going to be seeing that. You're going to get all kinds of things. People saying we're from Amazon and your order didn't go through, or we're from, you know, whatever company, or
packages are being delayed.
So, you know, you have to pay.
Especially because you've read in the news that packages are legitimately being delayed.
Right. Yeah. And they might say, well, there's more postage due on it. That's one other one that I've heard a big scam. Because of the price increases, we still need, you know, another, I heard one person say $76 because there wasn't enough postage and we need that. And those
they don't. And even if that happens, they don't call you and tell you. They give you a note in your mailbox. You go to the post office and pay it and pick up the package.
Yeah,
that's exactly
they
right.
Hold it.
The package gets to your post office first.
Yep.
Then you pay and get your package. It's not send me a gift card.
Yeah.
That just doesn't happen. Anybody who asks you for a gift card is scamming you.
Yeah.
Unless, of course, it's your 8-year-old.
Yeah.
Then they just want it for Thanksgiving.
Well, they could be in scam. They could be in scams.
Yeah, right.
To get into a game or something else.
Right.
You know, so.
But let's be honest. 8-year-olds scam everybody all the time. Oh, that's fair. That's different.
That's our whole world.
We've had people come into our store try to return gift cards, you know, Apple gift cards, iTunes gift cards, and we can't because you don't know if the money's gone or not.
Right.
And even if you look up the number on the card to see the balance, the way the scammers work is they want you to read the number off the back of the card, like the credit card number. That could be gone the second after you check.
Right.
So you cannot return a gift card because there's no way to prove that it hasn't been used.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yep.
So, yeah, don't look, if you're going to get a gift card, get it for your grandkids. Stick it in their stockings. Do not get a gift card for some scammer calling you on the phone.
Like I said, if anybody calls you, and I don't care where it's from, and they tell you, okay, it can be resolved if you go down to your local, say, drugstore and get this gift card or that gift card, what you got to do is very simple. Doesn't take a lot of power, brain power, or anything else. Hang up.
Yeah, it's all it takes.
Hang up. I guarantee you, they won't call you right back.
Yeah, exactly. I used to give my daughter iTunes gift cards for every event, but that, you know, for birthdays and everything.
Yeah.
Now, of course, she wants lottery tickets, but that's a different story.
Well, an iTunes card is a guaranteed payment.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
I didn't say she doesn't want iTunes cards also.
Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you don't look, don't fall for the scam, and please.
Help
us out by voting in the poll at soundbites.org in the upper left. You'll see the poll. Click on that and make a vote. I need to know how many people are getting hit by these things. We'd like to know that. So please,
because
vote in the poll.
We know it's going on. It's been going on for years, but it just seems lately it's becoming more and more prevalent out there that they're just finding even more deceptive ways in these bad times to take advantage of folks because they don't care. Like I said, they're going to take your money and they're going to run, and then you're going to be sitting there without that money.
I mentioned this off the air, but I've been at customers' houses when they have gotten scam calls. And it's, hi, this is Bill from Apple. We've detected a problem with your computer. And I go, hi, this is Steve from Apple. I'm fixing a problem on the computer. Thank you.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could go for that.
And then they hem and haw, and I say, then hang up on them. Well, I know a lot of people that will keep the scammer online as long as they can, so they don't move on to scam somebody else.
Right. Right. And that's, you know, but, and I get that. But for most of us, the best thing to do is just hang up.
Yeah.
Hang up, hang up, hang up. The more people who don't engage them, the less money they make. So definitely don't engage them at all. And don't forget to vote in the poll. We're going to go to our next caller, Pat from Batavia, New York. Hiya, Pat. What's up?
Well, I think you misunderstood. It's Pat from Alaska.
Pat from Alaska?
Nice.
Yeah. And when you hear my comments, you'll understand why I'm from Alaska.
Okay.
First comment is inspired by the last call. I wasn't going to admit this, but maybe, you know, if we all fess up a little bit, we'll help people. Short story, I had to get an EIN number, and I searched online, and I see something IRS, you know, apply. So I go ahead, right in the URL says IRS. I get to the last screen, and it says, you can use a credit card to pay your $285.
Wow.
At which point I thought, wait a minute, this can't be right. And I looked up, and IRS was in the URL, but it wasn't IRS.gov.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, oh, my God, I cannot believe I just gave that information out.
Yep.
But what I'm hoping will help, if my wife finds out about this, she'll not be happy. But anyway, they sent me a confirmation email saying, oh, you forgot to make the payment. And we'll actually save you $85 if you pay right now.
Nice.
So I'm hoping that it is a legitimate concern. You know, not just somebody trying to scam my numbers.
Right.
If you Google the actual URL, you'll often see, is this a scam or report this is a scam,
you know what?
If it is or not.
I had to do it a couple different times since I got started as someone came up. This place advertises, must have a very high, what do you call it, search engine, SEO.
Yeah.
Because out of 10... let's say the top 10, they're almost all that. And I don't even see IRS.gov when you're looking for an EIN online, which is kind of weird. They push the government right out of it,
yeah.
And they're in that business. I also know, though, the Federal Express is doing something with passport renewal. And obviously Federal Express is not the government. So there are companies I think they're legitimately doing it. But
yeah.
my point, and if all the words obscured the point, be sure of the actual URL. If you want to contact somebody, like you guys have always said, go to the bank's website, not click here to follow this link.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Or if you go on the IRS.gov, if you go into New York State, you know, New York State has... And anyway, my first question, which is the main reason I called, my MiFi, wonderful. It takes a couple minutes to work, but it just keeps the signal working as a Wi-Fi, you know, as a way of substitute for my phone's Wi-Fi sucks. I'm sorry, Dave, I got a Pixel 3A and that thing, it'll say I don't see it. So, of course, we humanize things. I tap the phone up against the laptop. It's right here.
Anyway, we all do that.
But here's the question. Here's the only problem I have. Chromebook, okay? Occasionally, even though it's going continuously, like I'm watching a movie or something, all of a sudden it seems to drop the Wi-Fi. And I'm thinking it drops it because when I go to look at the Wi-Fi thing, you know, for the network, pull up, I reconnect right back there. Is there a setting that will hold the Wi-Fi, or does this make any sense to you from the standpoint of it might be the laptop rather than the...
Like a timeout.
Yeah, like a timeout, yeah. Are you, Nick, are you aware of anything like that on the Chromebook?
I am not, but it is certainly possible that whatever model of Chromebook you have has a timeout, what you would get if you weren't touching the machine and it went into
sleep mode,
or it started a screen saver.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense because there are times when I'll, you know, leave the room or something, go do something else. And if I'm gone 5 minutes, I understand that. But this is when I'm working right along. It's weird.
Well, do you have, when you're watching some sort of thing...
Netflix, let's be honest, it's Netflix.
Yeah, when you're watching Netflix, have you got it in full screen mode?
I might, yeah.
If you do, that shouldn't happen. But if you don't... it might happen.
If it's just a window, yeah, it still might go to sleep. What about TCP lease timeout at the router? Maybe that's set too low. Or it just happens to be the 24-hour timeout is when you're watching Netflix the same time of the day.
Yeah, right. That's possible, but unlikely, because if it does a renewal, you shouldn't notice.
Yeah.
But I'm afraid I don't have an answer for that. I will look into it, but I don't have an answer for you right now.
Oh, okay. And I promise I will not refund my gift of a couple weeks ago.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
But now you owe me one more answer in the future.
Yes, we do. Absolutely.
And then we'll be even.
Okay, so,
yeah,
it's a deal.
Any thoughts where I could look in the meantime? Is it a settings or...
I don't know that there are any settings that will do that. But like I said, I'll take a look into it. I don't have any answer off the top of my head. And I'm afraid we got to go.
I just heard the music, so stay tuned for a little bit longer break this time at world's oldest computer information show. Soundbite.
Thank you. Thank you.
Stay warm in Alaska.
Yeah. Patrick has said it all, but I'll repeat some of it. We're going to take a slightly longer break. Take a little bio break, enjoy yourselves, but come back for another hour of the longest running computer show in the known universe with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and you. Give us a call and make a pledge, 585-966-5299, toll free 1-800-790-0415, or pledge securely online at jazz901.org or through the Jazz 90.1 app. Don't forget to vote in the poll. It's soundbites.org in the upper left, and we'll be right back, so stay tuned.
Computer talk you can understand. More soundbites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
On Twitter at 901Jazz.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And it's 7 minutes after the hour. We are Soundbites. Before we get back to the phones, let me remind you that we are in the midst of a pledge drive. Now, I will be very honest. We have not been doing very well. This show has not done well. But theoretically, this is the last Saturday of the drive. So please, please be generous. Pick up the phone, make the call, make the pledge. 585 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 1-800-790-0415. You can pledge securely online at jazz901.org or pledge on the Jazz 90.1 app. And before we go to the phones, let me remind you about Jazz-O-Matic. It's the least painful way to make your pledge. You simply tell us how much to take out of your account every month and how many months to do it, minimum of $10. And we will do that. So let's say you pledge $10 a month for a year. It's a tiny little bite for you, but it's $120 at the end of it for us. And that's a big deal. That helps a lot. So please make that call, make that pledge, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll free 1-800-790-0415. And particularly all you folks who are listening on the podcast and have not become members, the Jazz 90.1 app and jazz901.org. It takes less than 2 minutes. We need your help. Please, please help us out. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Tom from Rochester, New York. Hi, Tom. What's up?
How you doing, folks? Everybody okay today?
We're good. You?
Fantastic, thanks.
Good.
Hey, I just wanted to let everybody know that I got a scam call from some very official-sounding Amazon fellow that told me that there was a problem with my Amazon account and that they detected some fraudulent activity that resulted in some purchase of an iPhone resulting in $1,000 or more activity, and they wanted some more information, and I just thought it ridiculous because I don't do anything online with Amazon, my bank, anybody else.
Yep.
So it's like I just immediately hung up. I should have toyed with them, but I didn't.
No, yeah, I know. Everybody thinks that they should because, yes, keeping them on the line means it's longer before they scam the next person. But the fact is, life is short. Don't even bother.
But, I just wanted to put that out there to everybody that, there's somebody calling from Amazon that's trying to scam them.
Yep. Thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Have a great day, guys.
You too. Thanks. Yeah, we're seeing this a lot, particularly as we get into the holiday buying season. We're seeing more and more people who are getting calls from Amazon and from UPS and from all kinds of stores and credit card companies and everything else. And so what we're finding is that we're seeing a lot of these scams. Because it's plausible. Now is the time.
Mm-hmm.
Social engineering says the more plausible it is, the better. So if you get a call like that, stop. It's a three-step process. Stop, think, hang up.
Mm-hmm.
It's that simple.
Yeah. I've even heard of people who are trying to be nice and say, I don't have an Amazon account. They must have the wrong person. I'll call and let them know.
Yeah, right.
No, they know they don't have the right person because every person is the right person.
Yeah, exactly. All right, to the phones. Our next caller is Jim from Brighton, New York. Hi, Jim, what's up?
Hi, thank you for doing what you do, fellas.
Thank you.
I'm a member already, and I made my contribution in April.
Thank you.
So
you're good.
So maybe I'll hit you again next year.
Perfect.
Okay, here's the first question. I somehow lost how I get to see you live, and I'm wondering, is there something that I have to buy to do that?
You lost right what?
I'm just listening to you like on the radio right now.
Right.
I used to be able to watch you on my computer, but I seem to have lost that connection. It did work for a while, so can you have any idea what's wrong?
Well, you should be able to get to us through YouTube or Facebook or
Twitch.
And you should be able to, at least one of those is on our homepage. It's soundbites.org.
I think all three of them are.
All three of them are. If you go to soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, up on the upper right, there's a block called Our Longevity. And at the in the middle of that, you have links to YouTube, Twitch, and Facebook. So if you were to click, say, on the YouTube channel link, it would open up a thing to YouTube, and you could watch us right there.
That sounds great, fellas. Thanks very much.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I don't know why anybody would actually want to see our faces, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Hi to whoever's watching online. That's great. You're not well, but thank you very much for watching.
In fact, I just realized I have to add Twitch. I've got YouTube and Facebook there. I'll add Twitch. Now I've got to remember how to edit that panel over there. What section is that under?
That's the thing. This is a very powerful program, OBS, very powerful program, but that makes it a little complex.
Yeah.
And remembering what each little thing does is very hard. All right. Let's head back to the phones. Our next caller is James from Rochester, New York. Hi, James. What's up?
Oh, hello. Yes. I wanted to ask you about Windows 11.
Yeah.
I keep getting a little blue dot on the taskbar that says Windows 11 is ready and it's free to download and install. Do I have to do that, or should I stay the same?
All right. First, one question, though, James. How old is your machine?
About 6 months.
Yeah.
It's a brand new, 3 months, a brand new Dell laptop.
Yeah, the bigger question is for everyone, is your computer ready for it, and are your programs ready for it? You need to check with the manufacturer. So if you want Windows 11, you need to check with the manufacturer of your computer to make sure your computer can handle it.
Mm-hmm.
You need to check with the manufacturer of all of the apps that you run and make sure it can handle it. And probably right now that answer is going to be probably not.
And I would say
it's too new. Let someone else find the problem.
Yes, I wouldn't want to be, like we've always said for a long time, you can always tell the pioneers because they have their arrows in the back. And right now, Windows 11 is so new, I wouldn't want to be a beta tester for.
No, I don't want to. So just ignore that. Will the dot go away?
No, the dot won't go away, but just ignore it.
Yeah, just ignore it. I mean, until it gets out there and improves it. I mean, Windows is having enough trouble just keeping Windows 10 up and running without it, you know, breaking.
There was
breaking.
Just another big update for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, they keep breaking it, you know, each time. Why, you know, go through the aggravation of even a whole new operating system?
No, I don't want that.
And the biggest changes are visual.
And when did it come out?
Windows 11 just came out.
Like a week ago, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
And the biggest changes are all visual. It looks completely different. And that's the biggest thing people hate about it, is it looks completely different.
Yeah, right. There's not much more they can do to it other than rearrange icons and maybe relabeling stuff.
No, I'm surprised. Why are they pushing this so much?
They got to make money. That's the only way they can make money is if they push out a new product.
They're right, every new computer you buy is going to have Windows 11 on it, and they get paid for that. And they're paving the way for Windows, I think they're going to call it 365, but we don't know,
yeah.
The online version of Windows. And every version of Windows that comes out now is headed in that direction.
All right, then. I'm just going to ignore this. Yeah. I don't need it.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you, James.
It's interesting that he's got the notice already. So Microsoft is getting really aggressive at telling people. Hopefully, it's not like Windows 10 and will install itself.
Yeah, well, right.
I think they learned their lesson, hopefully, from that one because it bricked so many, and they were facing possible lawsuits
right
on that end. But, I mean, right now, it's just like we were saying with the phones and all that we've hit a point that there has to be something really spectacular. Like the old days of Windows 98 when they were opening the stores at midnight because you wanted the latest and greatest and the hottest thing because now it was going to do multitasking and doing all these great things for you.
Right.
So, I mean, now all it's going to do is rearrange icons and make
the
look
on the Titanic. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so what? Like Nick has always said, you know how to drive a car. You know, and when you get into a new car, they might move things around, but it's still a car. You get in, right.
You still know how to drive, you just don't know where the radio is.
Yeah. They might move it around. So, no biggie. And right now, with their track record, I wouldn't go with it. I'm sorry. Call me skeptical, but yeah. Because of their.
Realistic. I'll call you realistic.
Yeah. I mean, they don't have a great track record, folks. Every time they come out with a patch. It, you know, they wind up patching the patch.
Yep.
And that's been their track record now for the past few years with Windows 10.
Yeah, let somebody else find the problems. Let somebody else step in the hole.
Yeah.
You can move on. Yeah. Don't bother with it. Let's not forget tomorrow night, everyone. Every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. We hold the Soundbites Lounge, courtesy of Mastermind Lounge. Just go to soundbites.org/lounge, and at 9 o'clock, there will be a link. Refresh at 9 o'clock, there will be a link to the lounge. We do video chatting every Sunday night from 9 to 10, so join us for that. It's always a good time. And of course, please feel free to make a call and make a pledge, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. Pledge securely online at jazz901.org or on the Jazz 90.1 app. And look, I get it. You folks are very busy. These are parlous economic times. But they are for us, too, and we need your support, and we need your help, and we need you to make that call and make that pledge. We really like to stay on the air. We enjoy doing what we do, and we'd like to continue to do it. But we can't do that without your help. So please make the call and make the pledge, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free at 1-800-790-0415. Pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Or through the Jazz 90.1 app 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. 365 and a quarter days a year. And I will read the next news item while you make that call. Nearly a year after announcing the first low-end M1 Max last November, Apple has finally unveiled an update for its higher-end laptops. New 14-inch and 16-inch MacBook Pro models will include the M1 Pro and M1 Max chips, faster successors that build upon the foundation of the original M1, as well as more ports and a slight redesign. This marks the most significant change to the MacBook Pro since the Touch Bar was introduced back in 2016. Both MacBook Pro models are available for order, and they'll begin shipping next week. The 14-inch model starts at $2,000, which will get you a version of the M1 Pro with an 8-core CPU and 14-core GPU, 16 GB of RAM, and 512 GB of storage. The 16-inch model will start at $2,500, which includes the full version of the M1 Pro with a 10-core CPU, 16-core GPU, 16 GB of RAM, and 512 GB of storage. Color options remain relatively staid. You can get silver or space gray, but not the rainbow of color options you get with the 24-inch iMac. Both laptops use mini LED backlighting and slimmer bezels almost all the way around the screen, albeit at the expense of an iPhone-style display notch at the top of the screen for the improved 1080p webcam. Both screens also support Apple's ProMotion feature, increasing the typical 60Hz refresh rate up to a smoother 120Hz. Both include a redesigned keyboard that jettisons the Touch Bar in favor of the dedicated function row. Like other recent MacBooks, it also includes a Touch ID finger sensor. The MacBook Pros are powered by two new Apple Silicon chips, the M1 Pro and the M1 Max. Each are huge steps up from the M1 in terms of both CPU and GPU performance. Apple says both chips are twice as fast as the previous generation Core i9 MacBook Pro at CPU-bound tasks. The M1 Pro is up to 2.5 times faster at GPU tasks, while the M1 Max is up to 4 times faster. The M1 Max boosts things even further with a 512-bit memory interface, up to 64 GB of RAM, and 24 or 32-core GPU cores. Memory bandwidth is typically the biggest bottleneck for integrated GPUs, and Apple's focus on a super-wide memory controller and a single pool of RAM that both the CPU and GPU can draw from will allegedly help the M1 Max's GPU compete with discrete laptop GPUs while using 40% less power. Both laptops will also ship with macOS Monterey, which will be available to all Macs that support it on October 25th, or just a couple of days from now. Of course, if you're just like every other product on the market, Apple's been hit by the chip shortage. So depending on demand, you may not see your new laptop or phone until December. The delays are also affecting older products like the MacBook Air and the newest iMacs. So are you hot for the new Macs? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. Those are also, shockingly, the numbers you can pledge at, along with jazz901.org or on the Jazz 90.1 app.
It's amazing how that works.
Cool. Yep.
I think it's time to upgrade my 2016 computer.
I think it's might almost be time. Don't rush.
Yep. Well, we were going to buy last year's model, but then we, you know, all right, let's see what next year has.
Yeah, that's a trap, though.
Well, yeah, but because we knew that it was the low-end M1s came out.
Right.
And so we knew the higher-end ones were coming. And since I do so much with video streaming, I need a faster machine.
Yeah, you do.
But it's nice that I don't. I can go down to the 14-inch. I don't need the big 16-inch like I have now.
Right.
Because it's heavy.
It's heavy.
And still get that super high processor if we need to. But yeah, so it gets a little confusing now. So it's a MacBook Pro with an M1 Pro.
Right.
And MacBook Pro with M1 Max.
Right.
Because we now have an iPhone Pro and an iPhone Max.
Right.
With the M1 processor coming next year, maybe? Because we have an iPad Pro with an M1.
Right.
Does that mean the iPad Pro is going to get the M1 Max? And what about the M2?
You'd think with all the money Apple has, they could hire somebody to make up names.
Well, what we've seen is that this is there's the silicon layer. So this is the A14 silicon layer.
Right.
That they're expanding the cores with. So, you know, up to 10 CPU cores, 32 GPU cores in a laptop is amazing. So right off the bat, even the lowest end M1 Pro is twice as fast as the M1 in only a year. And So the A15 chip that just came out in the new iPhone 13, that's probably going to be the next year's chip, because there's two models Apple hasn't switched to Apple Silicon yet. It's the 27-inch iMac, which could be an M1 Pro, but maybe an M2 next year, because that's often targeted at Hollywood video editors that need that giant screen space. And then the super high whiz bang Mac Pro. The desktop tower machine, which these new M1 Pro Max chips are faster than.
Right.
So how many can they chain together? So that's the big question, is how can you scale these cores to make that functionality? In fact, one of the things that they added in the M1 Pro is the ProRes acceleration. If you're doing Final Cut 422, I think 422 ProRes for video editing, on the Mac Pro, it's a $1,000 card to accelerate that rendering process. That's now built into the M1 Pro.
Yeah, yeah.
So what's the next machine going to be? How fast is that going to be?
Yeah, right.
My friend, Harry Legg.
Yeah.
Who folks hear, you might hear us talk about it, but he's the one gentleman, he does professional voiceovers.
He just posted a behind-the-scenes video.
If you folks ever want to, check it out. He was here locally in Rochester. His name is Harry Legg.
With two G's.
Yep. And he is one heck of a voiceover, but he's been doing our voiceovers here for, announcing sound bites since day one.
Yeah.
Yep. He also does the announcements for the Rocketry podcast I listen to.
Nice.
And yeah, he just released a video behind the scenes of a voiceover, which is a lot more boring than you would expect.
Oh, it's horribly boring.
You say the same words, 20 different times with different inflections, and let the producer decide which one he wanted.
Right.
Yeah, and he works right from home.
Yeah.
That studio, like you said, yep. That is separate from his house. Studio over a garage that he's soundproofed and everything else, and we wound up building him the case, and then he went from the PC side over to the Macs, and now he's strictly Mac with Pro Tools and everything else that he's doing. But he's into the big stuff because, like you said, they need that quality and that quick rendering and getting down to the split second or a half second, so the commercials and everything else just flow so nicely.
Right.
But that's still one thing that the Mac still kicks butt on. I mean, is when it comes to graphics and editing,
audio productions yeah,
it's specifically designed for those things.
Yeah, I mean, nobody's ever.
We used to joke, why would you waste a Mac doing spreadsheets?
Right.
Yeah.
That's true. I mean, people who buy the very high end machines and it's like buying a Porsche and only driving it to the store to buy milk.
Yeah.
What's the point? Okay, it looks nice.
Yeah.
I suppose there's an ego boo there. But beyond that, where are you?
Somebody came into the shop the other day with a Porsche Taycan all-electric vehicle. It was gorgeous.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, the quality and the speed at which they can do that, yep. Since day one.
Especially now that Apple has shifted to their own silicon. They can design the chip to do exactly what they want it to do and optimize for their specific things. When they're buying a generic chip from Intel, they could suggest to Intel, can you put this in your next chip? But if Intel's not going to sell very many of those to the generic PC companies, they probably won't.
Yeah, right? No, they're not going to waste their time.
Yeah.
But that was the whole thing.
Because Intel wants to sell a zillion of these chips, not just a few hundred thousand.
Right. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. Make the call and make the pledge. We'd really like to make our goal this time around, but it's up to you to do that. Please, please make the call, make the pledge, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with more of the longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
You're just mesmerized by the music, huh?
Yeah, we're dancing away here. Forgot we were on the air.
Back with it. We're just listening to music. At 34 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we are in the middle of a pledge drive. Please, we've got half an hour left. Please make that call and make that pledge. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 1-800-790-0415. Pledge securely online at jazz901.org or through the Jazz 90.1 app. I've tried to be polite about this, but I'm very disappointed we have had very little movement here. Okay, I guess that's how you want it.
Yeah,
you get what you want and you don't get what you don't pay for. So that's how that works.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go back to the phones. We're going to talk to Gordon from Rochester, New York. Hi, Gordon. What's up?
Oh, hi. So I remember your previous caller was talking about upgrading the Windows 11.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we recently, like last year, upgraded the Windows 10, and it completely messed up all of our legacy programs that we have that run on 32-bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just wondering, with this new upgrade, is there going to be any way to, mitigate this kind of disaster?
Nope. Microsoft has pretty much abandoned 32-bit altogether. You have to go back to the manufacturers of those programs and get 64-bit versions.
And now, with Windows 11, you need to go back to those manufacturers and see if those programs are compatible with Windows 11.
Because they might not be.
They might, even if they're compatible with 10, they may not be compatible with 11.
Oh, I see.
That we had a customer just yesterday brought in a 20-year-old Mac that runs their optical inspection equipment. And it's the only Mac that will run this $100,000 piece of equipment. They can't get a new computer because it has to run this old software. And so we're going to be scrounging for used parts and see if we have anything left in the storeroom to get this old computer working again on this piece of hardware they need.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Microsoft is quite willing to leave you in the dust if you don't want to move up to the latest stuff, because they don't care. So you do have to be aware that Microsoft doesn't care if you come along. You just buy a new machine. That's all they care about.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm sort of tied to,
And I get it. I mean, nobody, we don't all have that kind of money that we can just buy a brand new machine every year.
Yeah.
I am sorry. I wish I had a better answer for you.
Yeah, so it becomes you don't upgrade, and eventually that will be a problem because security updates aren't going to be released.
Right.
So all the people that are still trying to run Windows 7 and 8 now, you are not getting security updates, and your risk of infection on the internet is significantly higher.
And that's one of the reasons Microsoft wants to go to cloud-based computing, because things will be more easily updated when there's one single thing that they can update to, but you're going to pay every month for the privilege of using that operating system, and that's going to be a tough sell for them.
Yeah.
But sorry, Gordon, I wish I had a better answer for you.
All right. Well, thanks anyway.
Yep.
And it's the same thing happened in the Apple world with Catalina eliminating 32-bit support, and people were shocked and surprised. Part of the problem.
They'd only been telling them that for a year.
10 years.
Well, that's true.
And that was the problem, I think. They gave everyone too much notice.
Yeah.
So the programs didn't bother upgrading. And so Apple said in 10 years, this is our road plan. And then, in 2 years, it's going to happen. And then next year, it's going to happen. And then it happened. And people were suddenly scrambling to get 64-bit apps. But for the average consumer, they don't want to have to buy all new apps. We still get people trying to run Office 2008, Office 2011, because it works fine
right
on their 10-year-old computer.
Right.
And now on their brand new computer, 64-bit only, it will not work. So you have to buy Office, or we try to switch them to something else so you don't have to go to that that cost.
Well, that's where a lot of folks, if they're going to do the 32 bits, they have to run like a machine, say, with Windows 7. But here's the key thing. Not put it on the internet.
Right, keep it isolated.
Do not put it on the internet because, you might say, well, I only want to do a little surfing. No, do not.
No, absolutely not. I don't know what you think you're going to do with it off the internet, but whatever it is, don't put it on the internet.
We've had computers that come into the office that are full of malware and garbage, and we see LimeWire on it, back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
The boss let their kids come into work. And just go play on my computer. I've got work to do.
Yep.
And that's what the kid did.
Yep.
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Jim from Brighton, New York. What's up, Jim?
Hi. I got a question on some old computers that I'm trying to refurbish. Their maximum memory is like 4 gigabytes. Is there any way to overcome that with a new BIOS or anything, or is that a part of the electronics in the motherboard?
Part of the electronics in the motherboard.
Yeah, only have certain amount of chip
bandwidth.
Bandwidth you have.
Replace the North Bridge and the South Bridge.
Right, right. So the short answer is no. And also, you're going to find that there probably isn't anywhere to put a bigger chip.
That's true. Yeah. There's only like two slots on the things.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, we've seen cases where we try to put an 8-gig chip, 8-gig RAM card in. It only sees 4 gigs because that's the most the slot we'll see.
Can only handle so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, 4 gig is certainly enough for Linux or whatever, but it's never going to be enough for something like Windows 11.
Yeah, I'd never think of 11, but I did get 10 to run, but it's just extremely slow.
Yeah.
And so the best bet, you think, would be make these Linux machines, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or
I run
Chrome OS.
Chrome OS or using Neverware or Linux. I have a bunch of old laptops that a friend gave me that I'm slowly disseminating to other people. And all of them are 4 gig, and all of them are running Linux, and all of them are running fast. They're obviously not going to be, super max speed machines, but they're fast. They're more certainly much faster than they would be if they were Windows machines.
Okay. Is there any particular version of Linux that you suggest?
There are a number of very good ones. Take a little time to do some research. A lot of people these days are happy with PC Linux OS, Pop OS. I'm a big fan of a couple of the Ubuntu's, including Mate. There's Manjaro. There's just so many of them, and I would take a little look and see. The beautiful thing is, of course, you aren't stuck with one version. You can try multiple versions via a live CD or a live USB. Just boot from the USB or the CD, and you can play around with it and play around with different ones until you find one you like, and then install that one.
Okay, thanks. Very good.
Yep. Thanks.
You bet. Bye bye.
Bye bye. Every once in a while, I kind of get seduced by a new and sexier OS, but I always go back to Xubuntu.
You know what you should do? Write your own.
I should, and yes.
Nick OS.
There you go. That's what we'll have.
Nicholas. Yeah, Nick LOS. Nicholas.
Nicholas.
There you go. It works.
And then we can saint you.
Yeah.
Or some folks might be cursing him.
Yeah.
All right. I have to say, one of my favorite things is one of the Thin Man movies from the 40s, the 30s. There was a woman who's the aunt of Nick and Nora Charles are the two main characters, and Nora's aunt throughout the entire movie calls him Nickel Ass.
Nickel Ass?
And somehow the censors let her get away with it. It's hysterical.
I've read where directors will put in something horribly egregious.
Yeah.
so that they can appease the sensors by removing it to let this other thing stay in.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to be aware, folks, that there's limits. You can't run the most modern operating system on the oldest hardware. One of the beauties of Linux is that it will run on very old hardware. Obviously, not at super speed. It's not a panacea for old hardware, but it will certainly run, and at a reasonable speed. Particularly with those older laptops that I've got, you can run Puppy Linux. If you've got a very small hard drive, for example, you can run Puppy Linux or Damn Small Linux in as little as 512 meg. Mm-hmm. So if you've got a very old machine, you can do that. You just have to be aware that there's a lot of options out there that don't have Microsoft's name on them. And if you go to, for example, DistroWatch, you can go there with distrowatch.com, and you can see the many, many, many Linux versions that are out there, and you can see what's new and you can see what's hot and see what's going on. A lot of people like Mint. A lot of people like Fedora, and Zorin is big these days.
There's a button called Random Distribution. So click on that and download it.
And download it and go ahead and play.
And I got Peppermint OS.
Yay!
But that's the other good thing, though, about that operating system is that if something's broken, it gets fixed right away.
Right away.
Unlike Windows, that if something, you know, they get a patch out there and it breaks it, they might get around to fixing it maybe next month.
Maybe.
Oh, yeah, that's a big maybe. There's no guarantee, and there's nothing to say that even that fix isn't going to, you know, mess something else up.
Right. And I've been running Linux for 30 years now. Lordy, I'm old. I've been running Linux for 30 years, and I rarely reboot.
Is this the year of Linux?
This is it. We've had the year of
desktop. One of these days it's going to be right.
Linux on the desktop, here it is. Yep. The Chromebook is indeed Linux underneath. So Linux has hit the desktop. It's just hiding inside of Chrome.
And inside the Mac. And
inside the Mac. The Mac is
BSD Unix. BSD Unix. Cousins.
They're cousins. And, of course, DistroWatch also has BSD versions on it. So there's all kinds of stuff out there that's available, and you can read about them, and you can take a look at them, and you can. That's okay, but don't play footsie with me under the table. Be a man about it. Do it in the open. Yeah,
my knee doesn't want to bend anymore.
Oh, yeah, welcome to that club. But there's lots and lots of distributions out there, and you can play with any one of them.
Now,
most
Windows,
of them have a live distro that you can run without installing it.
Windows is adding a Linux kernel for the ability to run Linux apps. Do you think they'll replace the NT kernel?
Probably not ever, because if they
backward compatibility.
Right.
Yeah.
They lose backward compatibility, and then they're not different anymore. But, you know, who knows what they're going to do behind the scenes once it's up on the cloud. You know, they could put anything back there, and you're not going to know, and you're not going to care.
Nope.
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Bill from Greece, New York. Hiya, Bill. What's up?
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Just to let you know about people that are trying to get into Linux but aren't sure what to do, there's a web page called distrotest.net.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They've got over 100 Linux distributions that will run right in your browser, so you can try them there. You're not installing everything. You don't have to do any partitioning. You can try any distro you want before you want to maybe go to DistroWatch and then download it.
Nice.
Excellent. Wow, pretty cool.
Okay, thanks for all you guys do.
Thank you. That's a great tip. This is what we love about this show when our users tell us stuff like this.
Yeah, I mean, we can't
search. Well, that's my weekend sorted. I know what I'm going to be doing.
You got to play with them all.
First, I'm going to.
They're hosting 707 Linux versions with 364 different OSs.
Yeah.
So if you take 5 minutes per.
Well, yeah. But, you know, you go to DistroWatch and you see what the most popular ones are. Then you go over to DistroTest and check them out. That's a pretty interesting way to do it.
Cool.
There's some that emulate Windows. There are some that emulate a Mac. There are Xero, I suppose they pronounce it Xero. Otherwise, it would be pronounced Clearo. the Greek way. There's just a bunch of them that are out there, and you can emulate whatever operating system you like, or you can be completely unique and have something that doesn't really look like much of anything else. And there are a number. There, like I said, there are just a number of them out there, and you can run all kinds of things. Puppy Linux, like I said, Damn Small Linux.
And that's a perfect project that, you know, if you say you've got an older machine, like we've had a number of folks call, that one gentleman that's trying to bring back some older machines, that you could plop it on there, play around with it, and, oh, if it doesn't work well, or which it should anyways, because it doesn't take the requirements like Windows 11 or 10 would.
Right.
And play around with it and get comfortable with it. Meanwhile, you still have your other machine there that you can do your work with, but this other side machine, you know, because you can get switches if you've only got one monitor, you can get keyboards and everything else, so you can swap in between and have both machines side by side and only have to have one keyboard, one mouse, and one monitor. But you hit a button and you can go back and forth.
Right. Well, look at this. You can, you, when you pick something, you get a choice of which one you want. Here I picked Xubuntu and I got 20.10, which came out in October of 2000. 2104, which came out in April of 21.
Nice.
And 2110, which of course came out in October this month, in point of fact. There are also the LTS versions. Some of them are LTS, long-term support. And that means long-term support means that you don't necessarily get the latest and greatest, but then you're not on that cutting edge,
yeah,
and having issues. So if you're looking for a desktop that will sit around and work properly for 5 years, you get the LTS version. And if you're looking to be on that edge and try the newest and latest and greatest, and maybe every once in a while run into a problem, then you pick the non-LTS version. But you can run any one of these, apparently. I can take a look at the details, and it tells me what it runs on and how it works. And then I can actually start it up, and I think it'll even run. A free slot is reserved for you. I'm on slot number 2. It'll want to pop up, and I can do that. So I can apparently run it even on my Chromebook.
Nice.
Cool.
It's web-based, yeah.
Yeah. Very cool.
Then that way, yeah, you can really test drive something to see if it's something you want to further explore without actually installing it. And like you say, go through those hours of setting and configuring everything up, and just so you could see what it looks like.
Yep.
Pretty cool. 707, you're right, 707 yeah. versions of 364 operating systems. Tells you what the server usage is.
We're back
is.
To the tinkering stage.
Yes.
Those of us that started so long ago tinkered with our computers and built them and assembled them.
That's one of the beauties of Linux,
yeah.
And that's one of the beauties of the Raspberry Pi.
If you were lucky, it came with BASIC.
Yeah.
And you could write a program. If not, you had to write your own compiler
yeah.
first.
Right. Yeah.
And now, of course, everything is coming with Python, so you can learn to write in Python, which is, I think, easy. But, you know, who knows?
I can't use my computer. It keeps telling me I need a snake.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things that I should mention is that the supply chain shortage has hit the Raspberry Pi. They're raising the price temporarily.
Yep.
$10. $10. It's going from $35 to $45, so it's 30% more expensive. But it's they're raising the prices to those. But they say it's temporary, and as soon as the supply chain
replenishes.
Back, they'll be back to normal. And of course, hitting everything, like we said, it's hitting Macs. And so,
apparently, if you need a job, longshoreman in LA and Long Beach.
Right. Now that they're running 24/7,
Yeah, truck drivers and everything else, because everything is just being stockpiled right now on a lot of these ports. And, matter of fact, a lot of the ships are sitting offshore because they can't unload them yet because there's no room.
Yeah, you can go to marinetraffic.com and just see all the ships there. It's really cool. You can see the shipping lanes.
Yeah.
Where the most of the ships are.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're kind of stuck in the pandemic mode these days, but it's nice to see that that the ports are opening up more to do more work, and we'll see you know how long it takes to make things right. It's a tough world that we're living in these days, but...
And being a truck driver is a horrible job most of the time. Even if you like to drive, just think about, you know, driving for 10 hours a day, stuck in your cab, and oftentimes unrealistic goals.
Right.
Tell me about it. Yeah. That's what I do for a living right now, is just drive just around the city. And it's crazy with the folks out there running the red lights, jumping the red lights, and everything else. It's unbelievable. It's scary. Yeah.
Your head's on a swivel when you're a driver, and if you're driving 10 hours a day, that gets tiring. It's simply
and you're so heavy that it takes so long to accelerate and decelerate. The people around you do stupid things because they don't realize it.
Right, right.
Somebody cuts in front of you, and it takes you 100 yards to slow down. You're going to hit them.
Yeah,
that's exactly right.
Yeah, I've seen some YouTube videos in that, you know, where the people have tried to play chicken. Yeah,
brake checks. The idiots who do brake checks.
Yeah,
where they pull in front of somebody and hit the brakes. Well, you know what? Trucks aren't going to stop. That's just the way it is.
Semi usually going 55 needs at least a football and a half to slow down.
Yep.
Apparently, there's 80,000 truck driver jobs just waiting to be filled.
Yep.
And a lot of the shortage is because it is such a crappy job. Drivers have left looking for more pay and better working conditions.
Well, that's the other thing, though, is a lot of the CDL drivers right now, because they are the long hours, and the other big thing is a number of them are independent, and whereas they just own the cab.
Yeah.
And they'll go and pick up a trailer. But with the fuel prices.
Yep.
Diesel fuel is going out the roof right now.
And how many of them lost their jobs and how many companies shut down during the pandemic and haven't been able to come back yet?
Yeah. No, there's a lot of them that just folded right on up and said, yeah, no. Because, you know, they hired a lot of these shipping companies were independent and they just hired the person. And you worked for that company, and you'd call in and get your load, and then you would then go from wherever to pick it up, and they'd pay you. But a lot of those even folded up and said,
You sometimes see that on the back of trucks, you know, advertising a job. You know, we pay top dollar, $1 a mile.
Yeah.
Is almost literally what you get paid. Yeah. And so everyone wants the longest jobs they can get, and you don't want to have too many short stops. And
the distance counts too because of your logs and everything else that you've got to.
And you're only allowed to drive a certain number of hours a day, and if you exceed that, you know, you could lose your license.
Right.
But when the company says you have to deliver this tonight, but you're already running up against your hours, you lose your job either way.
That's why a lot of people have two folks in the cab, husband and wife kind of thing, where they can split up. Who we got?
Sal from Fairport.
Okay, back to the phones for a very quick call. We're almost done. Sal from Fairport, New York. Hi, Sal. What's up?
Hey, guys. Nobody mentioned the 20th anniversary of the iPod.
Oh, we announced it at the start of the show, 2001?
Just missed it in the announcement, sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
I had the original one.
Did you?
Yes. It's like, got it in November.
Nice.
I want to find someone that got the original one at the opening event. Because they filled it with songs, but included all the physical CDs under everybody's seat. Because they weren't quite sure of the copyright laws. Right. Can I rip this and not include the CD or not?
Right. I still have an original 60 gig iPod. I don't know if it turns on anymore, but I have one.
No, the original one with the FireWire, the click wheel.
Yep.
5 gigabytes was such an impressive capacity at the time.
Yeah. Oh,
1,000 songs. That was your entire library. Yeah. All you needed.
Right. Now, of course, even back then, I used to say 1,000 songs. That's not my entire library. I'm sorry.
Well, the 1,000 favorite ones today you're going to listen to.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Your playlist. That's it.
Right. All right. Thanks, Sal.
Thanks.
Yeah, it is the 20th anniversary of the iPod. It was introduced on this date, this exact date in 2001. It was a revolution.
In fact, there was a lot of talk inside Apple about delaying the launch because 9/11 had recently happened.
And, right.
And so they didn't want to have some, you know, big joyous, you know, new product when everyone is still grieving over 9/11.
Right. All right, that's it. We are done for another week. I want to thank everybody who called in. I want to thank the very few people who voted in the polls. And I don't know that anybody called and pledged. I'm very disappointed in that. Very, very disappointed in that. Anyway, thank you all very much. We should be back next week with a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 59 minutes after the hour. You have been listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That's Sound Bites, right here on the Truly Great and Truly Grateful to You that we are member-supported. And you have a whole 7 days to pledge and become a member of the station and keep this show on the air. In any event, we hope that we will see you in just 166 hours.